Hey, everybody, in this episode of Box Office Breakdown, the king is still at the top of the hill. That's right, Black Panther's number one in the box office again. We're talking all about that. Plus, Amy Cassandra saw Tomb Raider, and she wants to share her thoughts about that special film next.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Oh! Hey! Look at that. That was an A-plus intro. I am a professional. Welcome, everybody, to Box Office Breakdown. Of course, this is the show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we'd like to...
Prognosticate.
We didn't plan that. Can you... We probably weren't able to notice because we nailed it.
Nailed.
About the box office that lie ahead, I am only one of your hosts, and by far the least talented... Breck Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
Hi, guys. I'm Amy Cassandra Martinez. So currently, I have two different handles on my social media. It is a very long story that I will not go into right now. Just go to my Twitter. It's the same as it's been for a while. Okay. Amy Cassandra MTZ.
All right.
And you can find my Instagram through there. Don't worry.
It's great. Concise. And riveting
thank you.
Information. My name's Neil Plumley. You can find me at places where you find people at the Neil Plumley, which is THENEILPLUMLEY.
And folks, of course, Carrie Lane, the fourth member of our panel, still has not come back from the bayou yet. So, hopefully she'll be back here next week. We've missed her. So.
Well, I heard she's traveling by riverboat.
That's true. And it does.
It takes a quick fortnight.
Yep.
Just go down through the Panama.
Absolutely. But of course, folks, you know what you can do? You can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. And while you're there, why don't you give it a thumbs up? Maybe 2 thumbs up, 3 thumbs up, 4 thumbs up, 5 thumbs up, 6 thumbs up, 7, 8. So many thumbs up. And of course, we're going to have the chat up and running, so feel free to hop in, share your thoughts about anything that's been going on in movies or something that happened in this past weekend at the box office in particular. Also, just a little shameless plug moment here. Amy and I got a chance to do the Schmodown this past week. It aired this past Tuesday. Box Office Breakdown. I took up the mantle and decided to compete under that to see how we could do.
How was it?
A very fun experience.
I like how you put that, and I agree. I agree.
How else would you have put that, Amy?
That it was a wonderful, fantastic, absolutely riveting experience.
There you go.
But I do want to say to everyone that did watch and supported us, thank you so much. And, all the comments are read, so thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
So hopefully we'll be... It is a kind of free-form team, so that means it doesn't necessarily be Amy and I going back. It also could be Neil and Amy or Neil and Carrie, maybe even Neil and myself.
Oh, my
Maybe
gosh.
We can get the Happy Go Jackie clone out of the AfterBuzz Pop TV or Popcorn Talk closet and have Frank and Frank.
True. It's been a while since we've seen him.
Wow, yep, that's crazy.
Let's get him out of those mothballs. yes, it was very much fun, and I think if anybody has the opportunity to do it, I think it kind of quickly dawns on you that it's much more easy to answer those questions in the cheap seats when you get up there on that that stage. So it's like,
It's not, I don't know how much time they give us, but it felt like a millisecond to answer. So it's just like, but it was fun.
As soon as you hear that 5, 4, and you're like.
Then you're, that's it.
Well, I'm done, I guess.
There you go. Yeah. Space Cowboys will haunt me to the my dying day, but I could not pull that title out of my head. Good times, everybody.
Oh, it was fun.
But we're here to talk about the box office that were this past weekend. In fact, since Neil was not here last week, we didn't get a chance to hear your thoughts about Black Panther.
Let's hear them, please.
Let's talk about it for a second. Listen up. I loved that movie.
Cool. Anyway, so come in.
I love your opinion.
I love that movie. Of course, when I told people who I work with, when they're like, "Ooh, should I go see it?" I'm like, "Yes, definitely." Just note, it is a Marvel movie. It is a Marvel movie that might have a few flaws. However, everything that they did right in that movie was 110% right. The costume design, I saw that interview that they had with a dialect coach recently since I saw the movie, and I was like, that is fantastic. All the work that you did on it was so good. Mm-hmm. And freaking Eric Killmonger we don't even deserve him as a villain. We don't deserve mm-hmm. him as a character, I don't think. That was just so much fun. That was easily, it's definitely my top three for Marvel movies. It's probably my first. I have to think about it more. But yeah, I love that movie.
Well, we'll find out how you feel at the end of the episode. Is that enough time to think about it? You need more.
It might be.
Okay. We'll touch base and see then. Amy absolutely loved the film.
Wakanda Forever.
There you go. And so we'll move on.
I'm so glad you're here, Neil.
Hey, what's up?
Yes, she was disappointed by my lack of enthusiasm.
Frank, I heard that you also loved it.
It was fine. It was fine. Yes. There you go. Eric Killmonger, he started off great, and then it kind of ended kind of one-note-y, and then had a little bit at the end that was decent. So,
what do you think about Shuri?
I enjoyed her tremendously. I thought that was a really nice kind of reinterpretation of that character from the comic. Because mm-hmm. I feel like in the comic that she doesn't have that much to do. So it was nice that they gave her like the tech side and kind of really fleshed out that side of the character.
Right.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that. And I feel like I just had recently, I was mentioning somebody else before we started taping, that I was rereading the Christopher Priest run of Black Panther, where they introduced Ever K. Ross, the Dora Milaje. That's where mm-hmm. they get first introduced in that the Black Panther property. And the way, it's kind of weird going back, the way that they're treated in the comic book run, I feel like they did a really nice job of reinterpreting the Dora Milaje into the movie context.
Yeah.
It takes a little bit of the skeeviness out of them from the other comic book. Right. So did a really good job with that. But of course, this week's top five, it should come as no surprise that Black Panther, once again, number one in the box office with $108 million.
It's fantastic. It's a fantastic second weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, like a 47% drop?
46.5%.
Yep. Oh, man. That's good.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. This one's going to have some legs for a while.
It seems that way, yeah.
There's talk about, like, hey, how's the Wrinkle in Time going to affect this? Because that'll be coming out is it next week?
It's in 2 weeks, I think.
It's not next week, because that is, of course I know that is, because it's going to be Red Sparrow and Death Wish.
Right.
Week after that, so. Yes, if that's going to topple Black Panther. And I'll be curious to see by the time that comes around where that will stack up. I feel like Black Panther is running very hot right now.
It is.
I think we're all craving diversity, which is great. So I think that, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm really excited for mm-hmm. Wrinkle in Time. I don't know about you, but I've heard mixed reviews
about
A Wrinkle in Time. But that's not stopping me from being excited about it, so...
Speaking of diversity, Annihilation just came out, mm-hmm. which is almost an awe, not awe, but like a great female cast that includes Gina Rodriguez and Tessa Thompson, along with Natalie Portman, mm-hmm. and they're mainly all badasses.
Mainly?
One badass, really, but yeah.
No, I would like to see Annihilation. Hopefully in the next few days I'll get a chance to get over there, check it out. Yes, Amy?
Well, I don't know if we talked about it here, but I went to that carpet and was able to speak with both Gina Rodriguez and Natalie Portman. They were both very excited and excited for people to see it
mm-hmm.
and to step into the shimmer as part of the thing in the movie.
Oh, no.
I hope you guys got that.
Well, yeah, no, because you said it last week.
Yeah, so just wanted to.
It's the first time I heard it, but I also understood the
there
context.
There you go. There you go. It's for you, Neil.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's a very divided show today. This will be exciting times for us here at Box Office Breakdown.
I'm stoked.
Coming in number two was the subject of our Box Office Bet, Game Night. That's right. From Warner Brothers. It made $16.6 million. Now, it was only three of us betting on it, Amy, Anthony, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony coming in low with $12 million. Amy at $15 million, and myself, $16.5 million.
That was fantastic.
Oh, look at me.
Look at that.
That's it.
That was...
slow.
Yeah, Beautiful. There's nothing more reassuring or maybe disheartening than that early Sunday morning tweet from Star Drew. either celebrating you or raking you over the coals.
He's up at the crack of dawn.
Yep.
And he's refreshing Box Office Mojo until updates for weekend estimates.
Yes.
I really do look forward to those tweets. I really do. I'm going to be completely honest. I do.
Honestly, I do. My favorite part about those tweets is that, Star Drew, they are replies to odd tweets that you've tweeted in the past. Sometimes they're several weeks back. Oh, so when I'm trying to look for the conversation, it sort of jumps a bit back. I just think that's interesting. I think it's funny.
Yes. So, yeah, it was when it's Lex on your side and then Star Drew tweet comes by with a little praise, your Sunday can be a little easier.
You can roll over.
Yep.
Finish your vodka.
That's true.
Yeah, or it's my kind of Sunday.
Or those times where you don't believe Star Drew's tweet, thinking that you actually have won the week. Only to come in and be quickly discouraged
best
by that one.
Best week. That was so much fun.
Oh, yeah. That was a highlight of mine.
Well, I can't believe I won. No, you didn't.
You didn't.
Not even close. Oh, all right. You're right. I did not win. Coming at number three, Peter Rabbit from Sony. $12.5 million.
Hops itself into third place, huh?
Nicely done. Number four, Annihilation. The film that Anthony was just describing and Amy, again, described.
For Neil and everyone that didn't watch last week.
Well, that's a shame. Who would not want to watch us last
week?
Well,
they definitely stepped into the shimmer. I can tell you that.
There you go. From Paramount, made $11 million. So have you? Do you want to see that, Neil? Are you jazzed about it?
Yeah, no, I'm jazzed about it. I'm very interested. It looks really cool.
Have you read the original book?
Mm-mm. No. It looks, don't tell me about it, but it looks, I mean, I guess you could confirm this because it pretty much looks like it, but it looks like a cordyceps, like fungus infection in the movie. Anthony, is it something like that?
Do you really want me to tell you?
I mean, only if I'm right.
No.
yeah. All right.
Cool. That's actually great because now I don't know what it is. That's fantastic.
There you go.
Which is actually kind of good because cordyceps have been used a lot ever since The Last of Us.
I was about to say The Last of Us.
Last of Us, Girl with All the Gifts. There's a few others, but yeah. It's a popular zombie type.
All right. And lastly, running out of top five, 50 Shades Free from Universal, $6.9 million.
Yeah, looks like it's free of the third place slot this week, Frank.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be sticking around for another week in the top five. So,
I would be sad to see it stay for another week.
True. I mean, given that the other two films coming in, they seem kind of intriguing, but we'll get to those in a moment. In terms of other films, Amy has seen a film that's not out yet. It's going to come out in about 3 weeks, I believe.
Mm-hmm. March 16th.
There you go.
Yes, I saw Tomb Raider, and I cannot say much about it, except that Alicia Vikander, is great, and I'm a fan of hers.
Better than Angelina Jolie?
I have never seen those. I'm not a huge fan of Angelina Jolie, so I don't know if I could really separate her from the character. And I just never really felt the urge to see them. But I know that this Tomb Raider is based off of the video game, the 2013 version.
Right, the revamp that Lara Croft went through.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So from what I saw, I have opinions about it, but I can't say too much.
Can you just give us a thumbs up or thumbs down?
Don't do it. Frank doesn't do it.
Oh.
I'm not going to give you anything.
I feel like that's smile.
I was going to give you something, but I didn't.
I'm going to read into her facial expression, and I'm going to think that you liked the film. You didn't love it, but you liked it. There you go, Neil.
That's a real safe estimation, Frank. You sort of just made it seem like, oh, I'm just going to pull past the layers of this onion and read this human being.
I think I did. Because
I think you're in the middle.
No, I would not, but I feel
you
like...
You know what? I'm going to go on the record. I'm going to hardcore go on the record right here that Amy loved it.
I bet it's garbage.
Not sponsored by Tomb Raider.
I do have to say, I went to the Tomb Raider experience.
Yes.
Which was fantastic. It was an escape room.
Oh.
Did you make it out?
Did. Yeah. 22 seconds to spare.
Wow, oh, nice. That's exciting.
Yeah. I will be posting that video up and sharing it. There was some screaming involved.
Of course.
by me.
Sure.
And yeah, just some fun pictures. So definitely a fun time. I went to the press conference for it as well. So lots of fun. I mean, they're doing really a really good job of promoting it and making the press very happy. So thank you.
Look at that. And you ran into a competitor there at the during the all the press. Is that where you saw Sabina?
Oh, yes.
There you go.
Yes, I'm sorry. There's so many people.
There's so many people competing against me.
I have so many enemies. It's hard to keep track of them.
No, yeah. I ran into Sabina and it was really cool from Schmodown. And I was like, oh my God, it's you. Oh my God, it's you.
Right.
Like a woman.
yep. Okay.
So she was great. It was fun. Yeah. It was a fun time.
All right.
Yeah.
International numbers here. Let's see. After shattering expectations in its opening week last weekend, Black Panther tore up another $83.8 million in 55 markets this session. That lifts the international box office total to $304 million and the global total to $704 million. This is its second week.
Yeah.
Its second
it's on
week.
It's on a quick climb.
Yes.
Quick climb. I also heard that its four-day domestic total was the second in history, second only to The Force Awakens.
That's incredible. Yeah. Now, basically, this film is running 40% ahead of Doctor Strange, 15% above Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and 6% higher than Thor Ragnarok at the same stage of play and in the same markets. Globally, Black Panther's become the number 10 highest grossing title ever for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, topping both Doctor Strange and Ant-Man. And mind you, in its second week.
In 2 weeks time.
Yep,
that's
2 weeks.
Wow.
Basically, it's retained its number one position in most of the markets, with holds particularly strong in Europe, where it was down just 34% and moved into first position in Germany for the first time after being dominated by 50 Shades Free.
Oh.
In other news, the BAFTA Awards were announced and gave some bump to some of the winners, including Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri and The Shape of Water. While The Greatest Showman has passed $200 million internationally, maintaining the number one spot in Japan for the second week in a row, staying flat in the UK, where the total is $45.7 million after 9 weekends. So, not bad.
That's a very interesting international numbers.
Yeah, it's, man, when do you think it crosses 1 billion?
For Black Panther.
Yes, next weekend or the weekend after?
Not next weekend.
Oscars. Or next weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it's going to be...
2 weeks?
It's probably going to be in 2 weeks, maybe three.
All right.
I think 700 is the halfway point. I think it's gonna stop around 1.4.
Because, I mean, I don't know. Is there anything else that's really coming down the pipe until... I'm trying to think of the March or April. Like, something that's really crying out. It's like, this is just going to pull all focus away.
I feel like Instead of Ready Player One.
Yeah, that's
sorry, I think that's at the end of March.
Yes. So I feel like it could run. Well, I mean, Wrinkle in Time is kind of a hit or miss. I don't know how it'll do, but I feel like Ready Player One would be something that's going to suck a lot of people in.
Yeah, I think Wrinkle in Time and Ready Player One are sort of also, they're kind of both dark horses for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
They could both do really, really well, but they could also just grossly underperform when they come out. It just sort of kind of depends. I think probably Wrinkle in Time has a better shot of exceeding expectations than Ready Player One does.
Yeah, but there's that. It touches all those, a lot of pop culture touchstones that mm-hmm. I feel like, man, that could be like a little catnip for a lot of moviegoers.
Could be.
And also, what is it? Spring Break will be around the same time as Wrinkle in Time now.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually like about a three-week kind of span.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, of course, two films vying for your box office bet vote for next week. Certainly, we know that Anthony is going to be checking out Game Night. I'm excited to hear what you think about this film. Actually, I hear it's not bad.
Yeah, I heard it's actually really great.
I'm actually sort of interested to see it.
And I'm excited to watch that.
Yeah, what I keep hearing is that it's shot really well. It's shot as if it weren't a comedy, which is kind of
nice.
Yeah. So, but we have two films vying for your vote there in the chat for which film we should cover for our box office bet for this coming weekend. One is Death Wish, the 2008 reimagining starring Bruce Willis
mm-hmm.
and Elizabeth Shue. That's from MGM on 2700 screens. And then we've got Red Sparrow, the Jennifer Lawrence film from Fox on 2,900 screens.
I thought you were going to say the Jennifer Lawrence biopic.
Yeah, Red Sparrow.
About how she got her career started.
That's right.
As an assassin.
Now, before we do our top five of what we think next week, we like to do a little box office rewind. Oh, I missed that. Amy tried it last week.
Wow, thanks, Frank. Tried I feel it. So much
Wait,
love
let's
right
do
now.
A rewind to last week and hear Amy do it.
Do you like that, too? Yeah.
It's our box office rewind.
Oh.
Yeah, is there a fly flying around in there?
You know, Neil, it's great to have you back.
You know what? She took a shot, guys.
Thank
she
you,
She took
Neil.
A shot.
Thank you.
She may have missed, but she took
but
it.
But I took it, she which took is more it. Than you can say, sir.
That's true.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, snap.
It's getting a little heated here in
That's
the box
right,
office
sir.
Breakdown room.
Breaking it down.
But I thought we'd do a top five look back at Jeremy Irons. He's going to be in Red Sparrow. There you go, Scar.
There you go.
But I knocked off his top two, which, unsurprisingly, in terms of just box office potential, were Batman vs. Superman and Justice League. So we'll knock those two out. We'll just focus on his non-DC cinematic universe films, which I think maybe Jeremy Irons would also like us to do as well, too. Yeah. I guess not really. Let's not pretend that I enjoyed doing those films. That was my Jeremy Irons.
Okay,
and
I was trying.
Scene.
I was trying.
We all definitely knew that's what Frank
was. It was,
doing.
Right? So coming to number five for him on this list, Assassin's Creed from Fox came out in 2016, $10.2 million. I never saw it. I started watching it on cable, and then I didn't finish it. So, I don't know.
My friend, the internet's Mark B. Donica,
yes, he raved it.
Told me that it was one of the best video game movies he's ever seen, to which I rebutted, I don't know, have you seen Resident Evil? Because that was okay. I still haven't seen Assassin's Creed, though.
You know, it's one of those things where I felt like I could watch a movie with Michael Fassbender in it and just enjoy it. And then I saw The Snowman, and that really kind of put that to the test.
Yeah.
And I felt like, I'm sorry, Michael Fassbender. I enjoy you, but I don't think I can see you in a film like this again.
Well, you can't just watch just a pile of crap with his face taped on it.
No. There you
it
go.
Has to be a movie.
True. He can only do so much.
Right.
Coming in number four, The Man in the Iron Mask from MGM back in 1998, $17.2 million. I just remember, like, that Leonardo DiCaprio, they take that mask off, and his face is just so clean and pristine. Like that.
How long was the mask on? I mean, I get the impression that it was, like, years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that mask pops off, and he's like, it was like a nice facial inside there or something.
Yeah, I feel like he'd have some serious acne.
Yes.
Oh. So someone told me the exact plot to it, and I quickly asked, is it anything like the Lizzie McGuire movie? Have you guys seen the Lizzie McGuire movie?
Surprisingly,
What Man
no.
in the Iron Mask?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you're drawing that. I want to hear how you're drawing this.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's Lizzie and then the Italian pop star.
Mm-hmm.
And it's both Leo. And it's Hilary Duff and Hilary Duff.
But is the Italian rock star, like, put into an iron mask?
No.
So... I don't know if it's like Lizzie McGuire then.
That's what it sounded like to me, but I would like to see it and draw my own conclusions. I don't know.
Is anybody's face contained in something for long periods of time in that film? All right. No, it's nothing like that.
Because no. Knowing the identity of this person would topple a regime.
Well,
because it's not so much the mask. It's like if someone's identity... being concealed so that they don't inadvertently destroy
a
country's political way of life.
I assume that by switching places, they get a better appreciation for their original lives.
Yes.
All right, so it's the Hannah Montana movie.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, me neither.
Or the Freaky Friday remake, right?
Okay, yeah, no you're just, that's a stretch.
No, Parent Trap.
How's that a stretch?
Oh, yeah, not Freaky Friday, Parent Trap.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Man.
Where are we?
I'm already saying.
The Kingdom of Heaven is next.
Is it too late to nominate ourselves for a Streamy? Is that too late?
Thank you.
Okay.
I think we're on time for that.
Good. All right. I mean, because I feel like this episode, I want to put this in for consideration, guys.
I would like to win, so.
All right. Coming to number three, Kingdom of Heaven. Heaven from Fox back in 2005. $19.6 million. Never saw this one.
Never saw it. Never had an interest to see it. Don't know what it's about or who's in it. Well, except Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, I mean, that came around the time when you're doing, like, Troy, you're doing Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's coming around that same time. Because that's really Scott's, his big thing, right? Kingdom of Heaven?
I don't know.
That's Orlando Bloom in this one?
Mm-hmm.
It's about the Crusades?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I guess so, right? Kingdom of Heaven?
And there's a director's cut as well, too, for it.
Hard pass, audience. Wow. Hard pass.
Really? I mean, it's like that Swords and Sandals. I mean, it's close to, you know, swords and sorcery.
Yeah.
No, not for you? Okay. Coming in number two, Die Hard with a Vengeance from Fox. Back in 95, $22.1 million. Man, not bad. I mean, all right, power rank your Die Hard films.
Die Hard. Die Hard 2. Die Harder. Die Hard 3. Die Hard 4. Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I can't. I don't know if I can disagree with that.
Sort of go in that order for me.
Yeah, that's true. Because that last one is so bad. Oh,
I love Die Hard. That's about it.
Hey, you know what? Can't fault that. That's pretty much
no. Yeah, I mean, yeah. As you see, it's kind of diminishing returns each time they've gone to the well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna say anything else.
Do you want to say something else?
Well, I feel like I get so tired of sequels. Just like you did it, move on. It just, I never feel like a sequel adds that much.
Hmm.
For the most part. There are exceptions.
Well, I mean, I think it's weird. I feel like the Die Hard franchise, each time they come back to a sequel, because they're not really building out a mythology. Mm. I mean, I feel like Die Hard with a Vengeance is the only one that kind of really taps into the greater mythology in the sense where we're kind of revisiting some ties from the first film. But yeah. Other than that, it's just him getting older and his kids getting older, and you're finding out ways for them all of a sudden to get in trouble together.
Yeah, it's kind of like when they kept making seasons of 24 and you're like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
No, you know, you're like, okay, so I guess Jack Bauer's gonna do this, and then there's gonna be a mole, and then he's gonna be compromised, and then he's gonna win somehow. That's the season. That's every season.
Yeah. So Amy, you just said something that in terms of sequels, do you find that amongst every franchise that sequels don't add anything?
No, I mean, of course, if you have lots of books, it makes sense.
What about like a Star Wars?
That's an exception, although I like to pretend those, that 4, 5, and 6, but it's not 4, 5, and 6, is 1, 2, and 3 didn't happen.
Gotcha.
I like to think most of us feel the same way, but I can't speak for you guys. Toy Story...
What?
Like, 2 was okay.
I feel the same way.
3 really? Only hit home with me because I was graduating from high school at the same time. So, but other than that, I was like, 2?
Really? Yeah.
No, 3 can suck an egg.
Come on, why can't it suck an egg?
I sort of hate it more than I should because I thought How to Train Your Dragon should have won Best Animated Oscar that year.
Well, that
but
is a...
Toy Story 3 won because everyone was so sad when they got about to get burned up. And I'm like... This movie didn't do anything. It just played off of everyone's nostalgia. It's all it did. And I was like, you didn't show me anything different, Toy Story. How to Train Your Dragon showed us a different planet, different world.
True. Dragons. But I would still say that Toy Story 3 about, you know, saying goodbye to your childhood passing them on.
Yeah.
Not saying that it's a better film. Nice. Yeah, not saying it's a better film. I probably would have voted for How to Train Your Dragon as well.
Yeah.
That film was phenomenal.
That being said, I am excited for Incredibles 2. I think it's hit and miss sometimes, but I am excited about it. And people feel a certain way about the fact that they didn't really jump that much in time. So I think that's also something to think about. Like when the sequels jump, I don't know, 5, 10 years, or if they just kind of continue.
It will be interesting to have spent that much time away from that property to go back and picking it pretty much right after the first one ends, which is the benefit of doing an animated film. You don't have to worry about your cast getting older and having to justify like, oh, well... Right. let's de-age everybody real quick.
Jack is now 40. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever see that thing on I think it was on YouTube, where the son pulled a trick on his mom and showed her Toy Story 3, but cut out and then compacted her and then went to credits.
No,
I saw that. That was funny.
That was good. I always thought that was a good way.
And she's like, "That's it. That's terrible. They showed this to kids." That was really funny.
But that How to Train Your Dragon, that scene where he first bonds with Toothless and he's dancing around through that little man, that is just so well. The music, the way it's animated, it's a beautiful sequence.
It's one of my favorite soundtracks.
Yeah,
from that movie.
Absolutely,
it's so good.
Have you seen it, Amy? All right. No.
Listen, it's fantastic.
Just you owe it to yourself.
It's just a real good feel good movie.
Speaking of dragons, coming in at number one. Aragorn from 20th Century Fox, 2006, $23.2 million.
I read that book in preparation for the movie when it was coming out.
Yeah.
I wanted to like it a lot more than I did. There was one moment that I really liked from the movie. One very singular moment when his dragon, who can speak to him telepathically, which, as I say it out loud, is pretty weird.
Yeah.
But in the book, she has this amazing personality where she's like sort of witty and cold and jaded. And they didn't really play that much in the movie. And I was sort of let down by that because she's this really cool personality. But in the movie, there's one part where they have to fight this other dragon. And she's like, "Let me get close and I'll rip her throat out." And I'm like, "Yes! Because you're a warrior dragon and that's what you say." And then the rest of the movie, she was like, "Aragorn, do you really want to be doing this?" And he's like, "Well, I think so. Staying on cliff sides. Wind moving through his dragon's feathers." And I'm like, what are we doing here?
There are multiple books in that series, right? It's got to be interesting just for when a studio decides that they see a series of books that they want to kind of adapt into films. Like, all right, this is great. We got five books here. That could be five big box office bets for us here. And then they just come in the sink and crash after the first one, and then they just quietly... They're like, nah, you know, we're just going to put that back. We're good.
Let's pretend that didn't happen.
I will say, however, even though they weren't both based on books, Aragorn fared a lot better than Shyamalan's Last Airbender, which went through a similar sort of, maybe we shouldn't make the rest of them.
Man,
trails. It's sad.
I mean, because I guess that's the challenge with an adaptation is that I don't want to see just a one-for-one adaptation. But I also don't want you to do something that's so far off from the original source material that I'm like, what is this? What are we doing?
Yeah.
So I felt like the Beauty and the Beast, that's like with the live action, I didn't really care for that one. Because it's just like, it added a lot of nonsense that I didn't care about.
I mean, it did bring it to kids that for some reason hadn't seen the original. And
why not just get them the original?
Because sometimes, I don't know, they would like to see Emma Watson, maybe, or, you know.
Because Disney wants to make money.
Yeah, well, true, of course. But I don't know if a lot of kids are going, I need to see Emma Watson.
Older kids.
I need to help Disney make money.
Mom, I need to do this.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, as long as I keep betting away there in the chat here for the two films vying for the box office bet, Death Wish and Red Sparrow. But in the meantime, we'll do our top five for next week. Again, Death Wish is coming in with 2,700 screens. Red Sparrow with 2,900 screens. Where do you... I mean, I assume one of these is going to take the number one spot. So.
I haven't really heard people excited about either one.
You know, I honestly have not heard anything about this Death Wish. So I don't know.
I haven't. The only thing I've seen is... honestly, just trailers. I haven't even seen like bus ads or anything, or just around the city.
Death Wish looks pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, and I hear Red Sparrow is
interesting,
but it's kind of a slow burn. It's not quite that like action thriller kind of thing. It's
more like what was that movie with Gina? Was it Gina Carano? Carano. I forget what that movie was. She was a spy. It was really slow, and I ended up not liking it because of that.
Mm.
I heard she really goes for it, though. Like, her performance is pretty great. But I don't know if it's a good movie.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say Panther, Sparrow, Game Night, Death Wish, Peter Rabbit.
Man, I just... Amy, while you're doing your top five, I just want to real quick, I want to see what Bruce Willis's last thing did here.
So...
Split?
I mean, I literally have not heard anything about Death Wish from anyone.
Have you seen any like ads for it or a trailer or anything?
I feel like just it's a trailer. Bomb. I've seen the trailer, but I just have a feeling it's gonna bomb.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are dedicated Bruce Willis fans out there somewhere. But will they show up? And will that make that much of a difference? I don't think so. I agree with you then, Neil. Yeah.
Panther, Sparrow, Game Night, Death Wish, Rabbit.
That sounds very dangerous, but yeah. Death Wish, Rabbit.
No, that's a game that we used to play.
Game Night, yeah.
Yeah. You have to live, not gonna...
You have to live near some train tracks to get it to work.
Man, it's...
The game. The game. Have live rabbits.
Okay. And the Black Panther's in there.
There hasn't been like that a crazy. Big Bruce Willis vehicle since 2015. And that's like Rock the Casbah and Extraction. Before that, it was 2014 with Frank Miller's Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. 2013 with Red 2, and that did $18 million. At least that was like a fun franchise.
Yeah, it's a fun franchise based on a comic, and it had some extra star power, not just Willis.
Yes. Oh, man, this Death Wish. I could... Yeah, I mean, I guess... I don't know if I can... I can't disagree with you there, Neil. I feel like... Yeah, I think I'll go with you. Black Panther, Red Sparrow, Game Night. Man, I almost might say Peter Rabbit, then Death Wish.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going
to
go with that.
Well, because Game Night's probably... I mean, safe to say it's probably going to drop about 50. So it'll do...
It's going
to
be such a low...
It'll do like 8-ish, probably. Peter... Only dropped 28.
Awesome.
Because there's not really any like other family friendly thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Black Panther's sort of, but not really. Just like kind of an all ages kind of deal.
Yeah, this is more like a toddler movie.
Yeah.
So I could feel like that. Yeah, I feel like Death Wish. Could you even see it not making the top five?
It might not.
But really, but 50.
It depends.
Oh,
it depends if Annihilation's going to go wider or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's on 2,000 screens. I don't know if it's going to go much wider, but I also, I don't know how
they could reasonably add another 400, but I don't know if it's worth it to do that if it only made 11.
Yeah. I don't know if Paramount's, well, I mean, there was worry about that. So that's why I kind of, Netflix ended up picking it up because Paramount was like, no, I don't know what this is. So, I don't know. No, at least for the international distribution. All right, Amy, what are your top five?
Oh, I already said. Okay, it's just like Neil.
Beautiful. Look at that. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do our box office bet right now. There in the chat, what do we have here? I can't. My guy.
Glare.
I see one vote for Death Wish just now from Star Drew.
All right.
Red Sparrow. Red Sparrow
wins.
There we go. Red Sparrow. Look at that. 5-1.
Thank you, Kenja.
Thanks,
Kenja. Jennifer Lawrence. Joel Edgerton. 2,900 screens from Fox. We're all kind of thinking around the number two area.
Interesting.
Oof. All right.
Maybe we need more color animal movies.
I know, but seeing those trailers or any of the commercials, are you sucked into wanting to see Red Sparrow?
No.
Like casually. Not in a serious way.
But you were more than happy for it to come to you at home in some way.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not like, man, I got to get out soon to the theater to go see this film.
Mm-mm. Not really.
I feel the same way, too.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, I don't know what other people's plans are for the weekend, but the Oscars are on Sunday.
Very true.
I don't know. I don't think people are going to be like, yeah.
Personally, for me, I'm pretty interested in it, in Red Sparrow, because it looks... Original, I guess. Different. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks a little bit like Atomic Blonde, but I was attracted to Atomic Blonde, too, so I was like, all right.
I've heard that this is better, because I've heard that same comparison as well, Anthony.
Yeah.
I've heard it's better than Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, Charlize Theron is, like, better than the whole movie in Atomic Blonde, so it's...
All right. Well, everybody get their numbers locked in.
I'm punched in. I'm ready to go.
That's fine.
Anthony, you good to go, sir?
I am now. Oh. I was like, oh, boy.
All right, Anthony. What do you think Red Sparrow will do?
I'm going to go with 16 mil.
Ooh. All right. Neil?
A little strong at the gate. I did 20.
Wow. Okay.
What?
Amy?
13.
I went 13 as well.
Hi, twinsies.
Ah, look at that. So, uh-oh.
Great.
Oh, man, we win together, we lose together, Amy.
Thank you. Yeah. Hopefully we win.
That's true. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let's hope this Oscar buzz is enough to keep people at home and away from the theater.
Right. Hey, Ken Jack agrees with me. What's up, Ken Jack? Looking good.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay.
Great.
That's okay. Whatever.
Yeah, we'll go see that movie. We'll go see it.
We'll do it.
That's all right. ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. But, of course, the fun doesn't stop here. It only gets started. You know what you can do? You can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And while you're there, give it a thumbs up. 2 thumbs up. 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. However many thumbs up you can make happen there. And thanks everybody for hopping in the chat. Again, I never tire saying it, and it always mean it, that we couldn't do the show without you. Thank you very much. Absolutely. Now, if you want to continue the conversation with any of us after the show is over, Neil, where can they find you?
Frank, good question. The people at home can find me at Places Where You Find People at the Neil Plumley. That's TheNeilPlumley. Amy.
Thank you for that. This week, you can find me on Twitter at AmyCassandraMTZ, and you can just find me on Instagram through there. Just don't worry about it. But I will be posting a lot of pictures from this week. But next week, we are doing something very special.
Oh. We are.
We are.
We are. We're doing something very special. Anthony, where can they find you, sir?
This week, you can find me at, I actually changed my Twitter handle, so it's at TonyBTony_. Tony B Tony _.
What happened to just Tony?
Yeah,
B. Tony?
Guys, see, I'm not the only one.
No, someone has Tony B Tony already, which was a little sad. Oh, but that's... also, I host a horror movie news along with Carrie D Lane and Oliver Drennan, and recently we're going to be being joined by Chauncey K Robinson and Lucretia Lyon.
Oh.
So they're going to be assimilated to our show, and we have 2 special guests this Tuesday for The Ritual, which was on Netflix. We have the director David Bruckner and the cinematographer, director of photography, Andrew Schoelkind. They'll both be joining us in studio. We'll be talking things horror movies. So,
love it.
Join us if you like horror movies, guys.
There you go. Why don't you assimilate Neil? He loves horror movies.
I've seen about 2 of them.
That's right.
I like both.
Got very quiet. And of course, folks, if you're, I forget, because since Carrie Lane is not here right now, you can follow her on social media, Carrie D. Lane. But she always likes to have everybody, if you're watching the show after it's streamed live, to comment down below. Amy, what's a great question you'd like for them to answer down in the comments?
What was your favorite Oscar movie? Because we're going to be talking about Oscars.
That's right, folks. Of course, we're going to be doing the Box Office Breakdown a regular time slot next week, but with a heavy focus on the Oscars, since that'll be airing next Sunday night. We'll touch on the week's box office, make sure we do cover our box office bet, and do one for the following week. But the main focus of the show will be just doing a little recap and discussion about the Oscars.
I'm so excited.
We should have a party. We should have a party and watch it.
Are you guys going to dress up?
Sure.
Absolutely not.
Long dress. Yeah. Gotcha. That's all right. What you're going to wear.
Perfect. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie, folks. Thanks for watching us here on Box Office Breakdown, here on Popcorn Talk. Make sure you're back here next Sunday night for some Oscar goodness. Until then, go see some movies.
Eat some popcorn.
We'll see
have
you then.
Some candy.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.